love this holiday. We won't have church tonight in honor of our veterans and Memorial Day. I get to watch. I can legally watch things. Most of the time, now my conscience won't let me watch things that I could even 5 years ago. Like, especially with any kind of, and I never did even then, but it's gotten closer and closer. Like any kind of moral things, but language also. But I'll get to watch some of my favorite war movies in honor. And when your 12-year-old or 13-year-old gets old enough, you should let them. So I'll start with, over the next 24 hours, I don't know, it's a trilogy probably. The Patriot, Saving Private Ryan, We Were Soldiers. I don't understand. I just don't understand people that hate America. I don't understand it. I don't understand how the George Soroses could come to America and make billions and then do everything they possibly could to try to destroy it. Anybody that ever thought that America was unjust and racist and all those things exist, I know, but go to Russia. Go to China. Find out how much equity, equality you'll have in those places. How they treat their own people. We demand so much here in America. Well, it's so much better over in Europe, and it's so much socialized. I just spent a week with Candy, and I were taking Miss Ireland back and forth, and she's Ruth Ferris, which is an incredible, wonderful lady. We were talking. She said, oh, yeah, and she's a nurse. But she said, in Ireland and Europe, it's, socialized medicine's real good. Yeah, if you want an operation, I mean, if you need a serious operation, life and death almost, you get on a docket, it'll take you about a year. I said, my God, people complain here if they can't get one in the next couple weeks. Don't tell me. I'm not going to fight with your stupidity if you run America down. I don't have time for you. It's just not worth it. We live still with everything that the liberals are trying to do to destroy America. It was a dream. It was a dream in the hearts of people that came here. And if you have any ability to study history, you'll know that the Mayflower Compact and those certain things, when they got off the boat, they got down on their hands and knees and offered themselves to God and said, we pledge this nation to you and to the evangelism of the world. That's what they... the Civil War, right? I know all of that. But did you know 500,000 American boys gave their life, and probably three times that many were wounded and amputees and all kinds, gave their life to settle a war of racism that still goes on today. But no country has ever tried to right their wrongs as much as America. Still, I'm going to tell you something. You may say, well, I can't follow you after today. It's okay. It's really okay with me. If a foreign nation breached our shores and got through our military. Men had to become men again and militias. The Revolutionary War would have never been won without a militia. What's a militia? It's farmers and businessmen that took up arms to fight. Well, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. My God, I hope you're not so naive to believe that was a personal matter. You, one-on-one with people, to believe that that meant disregard military or police. It amazes me that people don't read the Bible. They have such a wimpy concept of Christ. Now I spend the hours and I'll just weep like a baby, praying for that place where I can walk in into the room of agape and raise up any kind of illness that'll ever stand before me. And it can only go there with compassion. But I've read Revelation. I realize he's not just a lamb. He's an incredible roaring lion that comes back with a sword in his mouth. And he kills Christ, the one that is our Messiah. He, with the sword of his mouth, kills millions and millions. Only with the sword of his mouth. You better know who you're serving. Wickedness flees before him. So if they breached our shore, I'd follow him if he told me, you stay and you just stay. But I wouldn't have, and he's never even corrected me for having this kind of disposition. Not in any fast I've ever come out of or any time with the Holy Ghost. If they breached our shores and they called for a militia of men to fight, before my demise, you heard of me dying someplace, I would have made Rambo look like a sissy. They'd have said, my God, that fighting pastor Chuck Norris did not have anything on him. He prayed in tongues and he fought like a madman. Why? Because I've been to Auschwitz. I've been to Birkenau. I've been to the places in Europe where they passively said, okay, the Jews were almost completely exterminated. The Holocaust. I've seen the tender mercies of insanity. There is no tender mercies. There's no tender mercies to say, okay, we'll just submit, we won't fight. Well, the people in China don't. No, they don't, because they don't have the weapons. They don't. In Russia, because they don't have the weapons. We still have a militia here. And I'm not saying it'll come to that, but I'm telling you what my disposition, before I'd let one of these babies, because I've seen the tender mercies of a Hitler. And there's Hitlers on the earth today, they just don't have the power yet to carry it out. But the book of Revelation shows that they will. And if you don't think I wouldn't take up arms and fight, I just don't think you'll receive a revival like that. Oh, I'll open the eyes of the blind. I promise you, I'm headed there. I'm getting closer every day. But I'd take up. Not without Homer. When his eyes are opened, we're going to give him, if it was, we'd strap them weapons of warfare on him spiritually and physically. The Israelis, once they went through the Holocaust, now they have a motto, never again. Never again. We won't ever submit if it's to arm our 10-year-olds. We'll never again. When the military runs up Masada, they have a chant or they quote something, never again. They've seen what passivity means. They know what it means to be almost exterminated. And say, well, we'll just ride this one out. No. They do something I think we should do. You don't probably won't agree. When you turn 18, you just automatically, you don't, what are you supposed to, what are you going to do? Well, 18, you're male, female, right into the armed services for at least 2 years. It'd get rid of a lot of us sissy babies. Panty waist. God, I wish we had it in America. But male or female, unless you're just totally disabled, you go right in. Because they said never again. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray for America. We're going to stand in just a moment and pray. But before we pray, we're going to stand. And I'm going to ask one of Lee County's finest, Officer Carl Ellie, to come and lead us in the pledge. We're so thankful the way that God used him after September 28th. That changed Southwest Florida. Will ever live. That day changed a lot of things. And I'm talking about Irma. But God used him on a national stage to use his testimony. So let's all stand. And Carl, if you'll come. And even after the pledge, I'm asking you to remain to stand. Testing. Father, we thank you because of the heritage that we have as Americans. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise that you've given us of revival. Because only revival and the outpouring of your Spirit can turn this nation back to God and save a dream that was really a dream that came from God. So, Father, we are asking that as we persevere and go forward in these days, in the dying process, in the walls of fire, in the places of purging, in the places that we are doing personally for the outpouring of your Spirit, that we will also believe that this encompasses the real possibilities of change in our nation capital, at our nation's borders, in places, Lord God, that only you can get involved with through the act of revival. So we pray that in the name of Jesus, again for our leaders, and we pray that God, you'll change hearts and minds, and that you will replace in the days ahead those who are set on the destruction of America, and that you'll cause us to rise up. God, we pray for our military, for the men and the women who serve in it today, and those who have been disenfranchised by the government, those that have been set apart, marginalized by ways in which they never should have been. We pray that in Jesus' name that they will be lifted up, and that they will be remembered, and they will be kept, and that they will be restored. We bless America. In Jesus' name, and we give you all the praise and glory. Amen. Hallelujah. But praise God. We appreciate all of you, and the Lord lays on my heart sometimes to do an exhortational giving, but this is not one of those times. I just remind all of you in here and all of you out there that this is all taking place because you guys are praying and you're giving, praying and giving. And I pray that there's several of you in here, male and female, that have a dream to become rich, way beyond where you're at now, and that, you know, it's fun, it's really fun to not be able to walk down the center aisle here. That's super fun, but there's only so long we can do that, and there's only so long that. So we want more people, but that trailer won't take it, and it's not going to be long before we'll be able to get down through. We won't even be able to move. So God's got all that under control. We're putting spiritual things first, fasting and praying. But don't believe that that other doesn't matter to him. It does matter to him. He's very astute about our future, and he understands what we need. And I appreciate your giving. I appreciate your giving online. I appreciate your giving in here and just your faithfulness. Revivalists, you really don't have to say a whole lot to them about their giving. They just know and they just do. So, Father, we praise you right now for this opportunity to give. And, Lord, we thank you that in the days ahead that there are millions and millions, and multiple millions, Lord, that will be brought into this. Not for the purpose of someone saying, look what we've done, or look what we have, or look at our facility, but for all of the babies that will be born, and all of the blind eyes that will open, and all of everything that will take place as a result of the place that you're bringing us to. We thank you for it, and we give you glory. We praise you for it. Hallelujah. There's a difference. There's the rich man and the Bible that said he wanted to store up in his barns for the purpose of his latter days. And God condemned that. He said, you're a fool. You're this night your life will be required of you. Then whose will those things be that you've stored up? You can't take them with you. But then on the other end, and on the other contrast of that, there is a storing. Joseph had his silos in Egypt because God said there's something coming. And it doesn't always have to be tragic, although there are not so good of things coming. But there's a storing and a storehouse. Somebody said, I'll just live by the edge. Not if God has something in the future. So it's not wrong to put away. And it's not wrong for, now, if it becomes your, if your amount of storage becomes your peace, as in that's my security, then that's wrong. So any amount of money, I have a confession before him that I'm dead to the love of money or the sense of security in money, that there's no amount of money that ever becomes my sense of security. And there's no less amount of money that ever becomes my insecurity. Because he can make it up in a day's time, he can make it up just overnight. You can go to bed saying, I don't know how I can pay my bills, and tomorrow you have $1 million in the bank. But it's not wrong to store. That lesson of the rich man storing, that's not across the board. If God has something 2 years down the road, then, and God begins to pack it into a church account. You say, well, we got more when we got, yeah. What if God wants to purchase something? It's not always that it has to, it's God's got a plan. He's got a mind. So Joseph was told, put the excess of this 7 years in storage tanks, in barns. Fill it up, fill it up, fill it up, because something's coming. Well, God can say, fill it up, because I'm going to ask you. Don't take every windfall that God gives you. If he gives you an extra something, or if you're a businessman or businesswoman, don't take every windfall and say, oh, this is mine. Or I'm going to really do something with it. It may be that you're supposed to store it or have the church store it. Hallelujah. There's vulnerable things that I don't suggest right now, the markets, but and this is not a lesson. I'll just, but if you do have excess, don't let it just, some people say, this is way beyond me. We're just trying to get gas for in the morning. You won't always be that way. Don't worry about it. You can't walk this walk and confess these things that you don't come out of everything. You just come out of everything. You just don't stop. That's the main thing. You just come out of everything. But don't let money sit. Interest was condemned on you charging interest. But Jesus validated your money gaining interest. He said to the unwise steward, he said, you could have at least put it in an interest-bearing account. So at my coming, I'd have more. So, man, that's not even the lesson. But don't let your, if you've got any excess, don't let it just sit in a simple savings. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you. Oh, man. Oh, man. Just, boy, you could breathe him in. I don't know if you feel what I feel, but he's here. He didn't leave in the greeting. It seems like we're stuck with him, and I like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Worship you. Go ahead, Harry. Glory be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Makorosotoda. Hallelujah. Watson, you and Ryan, divide these up and pass them out. They may not have enough, but you'll be close enough to look on in just a minute. Hallelujah, Jesus. Just worship him. I just want to get down on my knees and magnify him. It's hard to do anything else. I exalt you, Jesus. Mahatekiato. Jesus, 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 Jesus. This came a couple Wednesday nights ago, I think. But if you can just listen, if you don't have, you can just listen, though, watching. The prophecy is, as you walk, walk with me. Think it not strange, the fiery trial which has come to try you, as though some strange thing was happening to you. Understand the hour that you live in, and face these things with a boldness in my spirit, as not in an amazement that many things will come, but if you'll stand against them and you'll just march through them, you'll find peace and power on the other side. But I'm asking you, and I'm pleading with you as a father, to stay the course. Stay the course. Stay the course, Homer. Stay the course, Homer. Stay the course, Family Prayer Center. Stay the course, those that are broke financially, physically, emotionally. You're not broke. You're not financially drained. You're not emotionally drained. You've got more than what you... Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. 1,000 times. It's a day and hour like never before to toughen up. We don't realize how strong we are until something comes, and then another something comes, and we thought that was bad enough, and then something else comes. We thought, my God, I just can't take another one of those, and then something else comes. You still stand. Got a preacher preaching. You'll march through them. You'll find peace and power on the other side. But I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you as a father, stay the course. And not become sidetracked, but offer yourselves a living sacrifice and your bodies a living sacrifice. Wage the war. For your time and your energy, pour yourself into all you can into my spirit, and I'll do the rest. I'll make the grace what you cannot. For many are concerned about their part in this race, but I'll go before you, and where you're not able, I'll be able, and you'll find grace. And I'll do in you the same that I do in others who are faithful with what I've given them. For every man and to every woman I come that will offer their bodies a living sacrifice. And whatever their life is at and whatever they're engaged in as far as their responsibilities and things that must be fulfilled in their life, I'll walk with you. I'll talk with you. I'll instruct you and I'll affirm you as if you'll know that I'm pleased with you in the description and the script that I give you concerning how to manage your way spiritually, says the Spirit of the Lord. Do not become discouraged, for I've not left you. You're on the forefront, says the Spirit of the Lord. And I'm looking to each one of you under the sound of my voice and those that will hear this prophecy in the days ahead to lean into me and let me give you the levels of grace to fulfill your call and ministry, says the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. We learned last week, and we won't go into the scriptural part of it, but David and 600 men had just left Gath, the Philistine capital. And King Achish, the Philistine king that David had pledged his sword to for a number of years while he was fleeing from Saul, trusted David, and he was going to war with Saul. Achish was going to war with Saul, and they wouldn't allow David and his men to go with him, so they said, we'll send you back to the refuge city that we've given you, which was Ziklag. When they got back home, nobody was there. Family was gone, wives were gone, children were gone. Amalekites had come in, invaded, and taken them all away. David thought they were going to stone him because they were so emotionally distraught. And he sought the Lord. He brought the high priest and said, let's pray. They used something in those days called the Urim and Thummim. It was a way to acknowledge what God's mind was. But the Lord spoke to David, and the Lord said, pursue, you'll overtake them. They did. And the 600 men ran as quickly as they could across the desert, 12 miles to the brook Besor. And when they got there, 200 of them were just faint. Now, I had said last week, and it helped me a lot to do some research on it. I always thought, how can you not cross a little tinkling brook and just at least go forward? When I looked at the pictures of the deep ravine and the chasm that was there, I understood if you're just totally wasted, it'd be hard to manage getting down in there and getting back up. Nevertheless, David left 200 of them that said, we're just faint. We can't go on. They were emotionally and physically faint. And 400 of them crossed, went over, pursued, went miles pursuing with David, located their families and the Amalekites and fought them for 24 hours and killed them, wiped them out. There was none left. There wasn't really, they so destroyed the Amalekites, they weren't even an issue for 300 more years. in Israel's problems with other nations. I mean, they really did a number on them that day, 600, 400 men. When they recovered everybody's family. They recovered all the other men's families and their children and stuff. And they brought them back to the 200 that were waiting. The 400 that went said, "We'll give you back your children and wives, but you're not going to get any of the stuff." Because they recovered all of their stuffs, and they recovered everything that the Amalekites have been pillaging for the last months throughout different nations. So they had quite a spoil to bring back. And when they got back, there was a big argument, almost a war among them. And the 400 said, "No, we're not going to give you. You didn't go and fight, so we're not going to give you." And David said, "No, that's not the heart of a father. Here's what God wants. We're going to have equal shares. You give them back, not only their family, but you give them back. Or you give to them everything that we fought and won and took." And it set an order in Israel, it said, for many generations to come. But this is what we learned. There's an equality in God, sure enough. You just come in here and lift your hands and praise God. His presence come on you. He doesn't ask you how many hours you spent this week or last week or the week before. You can reach out in faith and say, I need a healing, and He'll come and do that. What an incredible God. He's absolute incredible. The 200 that stayed, they had made a choice to follow David, so they were the good guys already. They weren't following Saul, which was a backslidden king, and the majority of the thousands were still under the enlistment of Saul. So they had already separated themselves. They were good guys. You can't tell me they didn't love their families. They did. The only thing, they were so totally emotionally and physically exhausted. And again, I'll remind you, and anybody hearing this, this is not about getting into shape physically. I know some spiritual giants that's hard presently for them to walk across the room. But this is about being in the best. This is getting ready to fight now or never. Candy always does this with all her grandbabies. And right now it's Ava. She's the 4-year-old. And they love to help Nana in the kitchen. Ava's got where she can crack an egg as good as anybody in here. She'll fix those Saturday morning eggs with her Nana. And she was all day in there helping her mom yesterday because Davey was over helping. But Ava's in there. She helped Candy put together some furniture this week and stuff. And you know, the little helpers, you got little helpers. You could get it done a whole lot faster, but they're your little helpers. And they love doing it, and you love doing it with them. But that's one thing. But David didn't leave them there. It wasn't a nice gesture like, you stay with the stuff, you be my little helpers, and you stay here, and we'll come back and we'll pat you on the back because you'll be our little helpers. They didn't need to stay and protect that stuff. The people, the bad guys that took stuff, was the ones in front of David's army. He needed them 200. David would have loved. They weren't his little helpers. Like, you stay here and, little helper, we're glad you stayed here and protected the stuff. No. The bad guys that take stuff was out in front of the 400 and David. That's where the 200 needed to be. But the 200 couldn't go. Why? They just couldn't go. Well, in the natural, and again, I'll remind you, this isn't about after Memorial Day, you need to start running. This isn't about your physical shape. It's about your spiritual. The 200 couldn't go because they were emotionally drained, or here's the bottom line. The bottom line is they were not physically fit to cross the gorge. And then when I read the whole story, I got, my God, this is the difference, the absolute difference between the two and the four only magnifies the longer you read the story. It only just magnifies. It's like, to start with, it's like, why, you know, they just cross a brook, get people by the hand to lead them back, say, you were lost, now you're found. It only magnifies. Because the 400 goes into the wilderness, they never stop, they pursue, they find the army, and then they fight. While the other guys are back, trying to catch their breath, because they just marched from one place down to Ziklag, and then they did run the 12 miles, and they're looking at a gorge and saying, I'm gone, I'm wasted. And they got to be thinking, my family, my wife's over there, and my kids. But they were gone. They were physically, they weren't just, there wasn't a margin, a small, paquito size, paper thin, small margin, like between how good a shape one set was to the other. The others pursued, and once they found, they actually physical fought men, warfare. They plunged their swords into the bowels of these hundreds of men and fought them for hours. While others were like, we're trying to catch our breath. Oh, we're just so emotionally. And David loved them and brought the spoils back to them. And God loved them too. But the magnification of how strong one was, here's the thing. While they were all marching from Gath to Ziklag, or while they were all mixed up and did not have any major confrontations, they all looked the same. Far be it from me as a pastor to sow any kind of discord in your minds among each other. I want such unity. But the thing that you've got to understand is, while you're greeting and loving and shaking and going and doing and this and that and the other, you never know until the pressure actually gets on. If the one that is here, and again, they've separated, they're here. If you're here, thank God. If you're there, thank God. My God, you're part of David's army. But you don't know who's real revivalist and doing a part to go forward to secure. Because here's the thing. They came back and said, David said, no, you're not going to do that. We're not going to have that. We all went together. They stayed by the stuff. I'd have rather had them. Do you know 200's, 600's better than 400? It's far better. I'd have liked to have them, but I'm not telling them that. I don't want them to feel even worse. Although, my God, as a man, I can't imagine. I just absolutely cannot imagine sending any other man in this place to go rescue my wife. Or to go rescue my children. Can you imagine when the smoke clears and the last Amalekite dies and the women are like, we're set free? So there's hundreds of women there, hundreds of wives, hundreds of children. And they're like, where's daddy? We're glad we're set free. Well, daddy wasn't here. What's wrong with daddy? Is he sick? Is he dead? No, daddy was too weak to make the journey. Are you getting this? When they came back and gave all the spoils back and it looked equal, now everybody looks equal again. They're all equal until the heat gets on again. Giving somebody an endowment of grace doesn't change their personal place, their spiritual level. something coming out of heaven and blessing over everybody still doesn't equip the individual to be in spiritual shape. That guy that couldn't run the 12 miles and exhausted the next time it come up, unless he did something personally for himself, or she or he, they're going to appear just as weak the next time. And it's going to be hard for them to get things done unless something corporately is done. Now, every single person in here, and I don't know who all of you are that ever crosses the brook and goes into prayer and spearheads anything, you're bringing back an anointing that'll cause others to say, I'll get in spiritual shape. Again, I'll remind you, don't go off and physical shape's fine, but that's not what we're talking about. Because when we're hugging and kissing, well, we're not kissing, when we're hugging and shaking hands, you don't know if you're standing in front of a giant or somebody that'd have to stop on the other side of Besor. And God doesn't tell us, and we shouldn't know, because that's something. But I can tell you this, whatever you're doing presently, no matter what it is, it will condition you. Sarah gave us a testimony. Other people loved it. She said, based on what the Lord had me share a couple of weeks ago about the importance of pray as you go, and it'll open up other venues for you. She said she began to do that, and then the Lord began to show her those time slots. And then she is faithful to that, and that began to strengthen her. Other people have said, they've wrote me and said, that meant a lot. I'm doing that, and things are changing. I'd have Mike come up here right now. He wouldn't know this, but I'd thought to have him up. Amber's out of town. She had to go out of town with the girls. But so he has to take care of Silas next door. Maybe he's hearing this. I don't know. But I'd have him come over. I'd have had him up, rather. But something's happened to him, and I'd have just given the mic and said, share impromptu. But he's one of those guys that I hate to give too much of his, but he's one of those guys that just love the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, but just because he's, for him, running a business of 30 probably employees, Stephen is now the general manager of those employees, which is doing an awesome job, and has provided much of the testimony, helped provide some of what I'm saying. But Mike, just in casual, not because I'm pulling it out of him, said, you know, God's been doing some things in my life lately. In all the 13 years that he's been in the family, he's always loved the Lord, prayed in tongues, but I knew if he was praying in tongues, it was just as he went. Now he's telling me, the days that I have off now, and certain days are being provided for, I'm actually going and sitting down someplace privately and opening up my Bible and praying in tongues. And I'm thinking, my God, this is what it's all about. You heard Watson got up here a month ago and was sharing how God changed some things in his life. And I'm not highlighting my family. I'm just saying, here's examples of people saying, you know, in the natural, to see Mike, that I love as a son, to say, I'm going home now in the afternoons now and opening up my Bible and spending some time in prayer. It's like, this is what revival's about. This is what change is about. And every single one of you, not to be condemned, but here's the thing. I said this. I narrowed it down. I got it ratcheted down just as far as I could and said, look, if you're not filled with the Spirit, and we offer up all these lines often, come get filled with the Spirit, and you don't do that, that's on you. That's really on you, you're not going to lose your salvation. But if you don't go, if you don't come and say, well, I can't pray in tongues, that's on you. And you don't even have to come to a prayer line. You can get filled at home or filled, you know, we've got a lesson on our website. It's on the front page, how to get filled with the Holy Spirit. You can do that. Go to that. But then if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, if you say, well, Pastor, I just do not have time to pray. And I said last week, mothers are probably the busiest. I think they outpace businessmen sometimes with little ones. Because I want to include everybody in on this. Everybody's concerned. If you really want to be part of the army that crosses the Besor, pray in tongues as you go. And as you go through your day, you'll develop a greater habit as you go. And then when he reveals to you, hey, Davy said, yeah, she reminded me last week when she came a couple of years ago and said, the Lord showed me that slot that I have when I'm laying my kids down and I lay down beside them and there's that 30 minutes or 45 minutes I can lay there and pray in tongues. Get them to sleep. Wherever your slot is, he reveals it to you. But you've got to be doing something. And if you don't pray as you go, then that's on you. That's on you. Then you have no excuse. There's no excuse. But here's the wonderful thing as far as access to presence. The Lord did not, if you haven't prayed in the last 6 months, his presence was here for you to be felt this morning. His healing virtue is here for you to be felt or be experienced this morning. His mercies are fresh and anew every, but that does not change the fact, the truth, that you may not be able, you may under conflict or under persecution or under hard times, which are coming, the blessings does not change the fact that you may be terribly spiritually out of shape. And we've got giants in here. We've got generals and lieutenants and captains and sergeants and majors. And then we've got privates that love the Lord. Go into God. Go into God for yourself. Go into God for your marriage. If you want to save your marriage, when you come home from a hard day's work, you want to make sure that you address your wife or she comes in. I said last week, if she needs some me time, give her some me time. But I hope for the me time, ladies, that if you get a day off, that get your pedicure, get your massage, go buy a new dress if you can. But you better, those are all soulish things. And if you just do those, you'll still wake up depressed next Saturday. Because a new dress or a massage or a pedicure, well, it'll make you feel good for the moment. Me time. But unless you go in and let the Holy Ghost build you up. Come on, somebody. Unless the Holy Ghost builds you up, you're still going to stay spiritually weak. Provide some me time for her. But sir, listen, I played with my girls for hours. But I did this. I'd come in, play with them a bit, have a good time with them. And then I'd go and I'd spend, this is a businessman with bunch of people working for me, and having to get contracts ready, plans review, takeoffs, dealing with what now would be multiple millions of dollars worth of stuff and contracts. But I would go in there and now, later it became early mornings, but then in construction, if you've got to be at the shop at 5:30, it's hard to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'd have to, construction world's different. You got to be on the job site. The concrete may be backed up. The cement trucks may be backed up while the truck lights are on. So early morning was not, but I'd come in and Candy can testify. I'd spend those hours. And then I'd come out and play again. But you want to save your marriage? Well, she won't let me pray. Well, y'all are going to get a divorce anyhow. We're having hard times and she won't let me pray. She demands, well, he won't let me pray. It's over anyhow if you don't put God back in the equation. Or somebody else is going to catch your eye and you're going to think, you could have the most beautiful wife in the world. These movie stars that divorce each other all the times, they're the best built ladies, most beautiful, but they got to find somebody else. That's why he said, don't let the adorning be the outward adorning of the putting on of apparel and all those things. It wasn't that you can't look nice, but if you think you're going to keep your home based on how well you look, the Christian home is secure based on staying in Christ. Hallelujah. How you doing up there, buddy? You doing good? He's always over there. Now we're going to let you go in just a couple minutes. Go into God. If you can't cross the brook now, I'm not going to ask you if you can or can't. But if you can't, one day you'll be in spiritual shape or emotional shape. They just couldn't. I mean, they were just, and I can't understand that. Like from a man's standpoint, I can't understand. I'd have crawled on my fingernails across the canyon to go save Candy and my family. But some people just get so wasted. But right now, when there's an equality and nobody can tell who's strong or not, tough times are coming. I'm glad I go to this church. I'm glad I go to this church. And please, all of you that are watching, be careful where your family goes to church or where they listen. You might think, well, it's not that big. Listen, everybody's the same until pressure hits. Tyson said, everybody's got a plan, until I bust them in the mouth. When you get busted in the mouth, you're like, oh, wait, I'm just going to try to survive. Be careful the church you go to and the people and the pastor that you listen to. Because if he's not inspiring you to get spiritually strong and die to the flesh. Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. Let's all stand. Pray with me, pray in tongues, and let me give an appeal. If you're watching this service this morning and you do not know Jesus, or you're walking in a place, you say, I'm not really sure. Most of our services are filled with Christians and Spirit-filled Christians. The day will come in which you will see a turn, and it'll be a great mixture. There'll be a flood of those who don't know Christ, because you'll be bringing them in here. And that day is soon to come, because the harvest is among us. And it'll be a powerful gospel as we preach now. It's a, you know, that presence that was in here for about an hour that I really didn't know what to do with, because I wanted to just stop and get on my face. But I felt like he wanted to go forward. We're going to have some services in the future where we'll all be on our face. We'll just all be on our face. And that's okay. But this gospel is a power. It's power. I was in Mark yesterday and this morning. I love Matthew and Luke. They do a great job on their genealogies. John's exceptional on introducing him as God. But Mark, bam, shot out of a cannon. First chapter, 16 chapters of nothing but miracles, 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 miracles. Read Mark. Miracle, 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 miracle. You got in the first chapter. He goes into the synagogue at Capernaum, cast out a devil. Then he goes over to Peter's house, heals Peter's mother-in-law, and then the whole city turned up that night. And he cast out all the devils in the city and heals everybody in the city of Capernaum that came. And that's just in the first chapter. And then he gets up. Jesus was a revivalist, you know. Because he got up before the star, while the stars were out. Great, it said a great while before day. A good while before day. Then the same chapter, he heals a man with leprosy. It's just, if you don't think this gospel that we live, I'll tell you how it's supposed to be. When it really is in fruition, you're supposed to be at work, coming here the next Sunday and leading in four or five people that you got healed at work. You only get one healed. That's all. You don't need no advertisement. You get one major miracle on your job. That's all you need. You don't even have to say anything. They'll start coming to you. They'll follow you around like Pipe Piper. They'll just... And this gospel is supposed to be a Mark's gospel. You know what I mean? It's just... Every chapter is just... Wham, bam, snap, pop, boom, 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 everywhere he turns. I mean, he gets to teach a little bit. He gets to teach. Mark 4 is great. But it's like, I got to get this teaching out because there's a whole lot more miracles. I mean, everywhere I turn, boom, 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 boom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all bow our heads. Jesus, right now, if you do not know the Lord, you're watching this. Right now, say this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins and wash me in your blood. I receive you now, Lord Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. And I commit my life to you to follow you all the days of my life. I will serve you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, no service tonight, but if you prayed that prayer, and anytime you get anybody to pray that prayer, take them to our website and say, here, it's 10 lessons. Boom. You don't even have to disciple, you know, just... Say, here's the lessons. You can print the PDF out for them and give that to them. So that's good as well. Stephen wants to bring his offering so bad that he can't take it. And I think he's going to lead you guys. If you have an offering this morning, please, before you leave this morning, bring it up and put it in the offering. And we will see you Wednesday night. Have a great Memorial Day. Enjoy your families. God bless all of you that are watching. Amen.